Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so Ryan Dunleavy covers football for the Post. Does a good job for them. This is what he tweeted out. A Giants team source on Joe Judge's firing. Quote, the coaching staff walked on eggshells. Players didn't believe in the system. Everyone liked him as a person, but when you hear the same repetitive stuff without changes, it becomes a broken record. This is why players pledging support for a hot seat coach at podium will be hard to believe. And then Ryan says Jay Glazer alluded to an unhappy locker room. So, listen, no player is going to stand up on that podium and say, I don't like the guy, when they think he might be the coach next year.
Yeah, and I'm sure they genuinely liked him. I mean, look at what he did for Logan Ryan last year. So I'm sure Logan Ryan wasn't going to sit there and demand that he be fired or criticize him because, you know, he let him take effectively a leave of absence when his wife was having trouble with her pregnancy. I mean, he's a good man. You know, I know we're kind of beating up on him for his inabilities or lack of ability as head coach, but I'm sure there were guys that were close to him, became friendly with him, and it's probably hard to go public and rip him, but at the end of the day, was he a good enough coach to keep the job?
Let's take some calls, but first let's listen to Dan Orlovsky. We're going to have on Dan tomorrow in his normal spot.
Of course.
This is what Dan said on Canty and Golic Jr. show about the Giants finally firing Joe Judge.
Yeah, that's what happens when you stink at your job, you know, like you get fired. That's the brutal reality of the NFL is when you're not good at that role, they find somebody else who is. I think that what happened over the last month for the New York Giants was embarrassing. You both play football. I think in youth sports, one of the first things we all learn, and it carries over in team sports as you get older, is you never embarrass the name on the back of your jersey and you never embarrass the name on the front of your jersey. And what has happened is it's become embarrassing. And the way he's handled the press conferences and the way he's handled the play on the field is unacceptable. This is New York Giants. Like, this is the New York Giants, and I'll give credit for the Giants for making a difficult decision.
How difficult was it, though? I mean, it's only difficult because you didn't want to fire a coach, a third coach in a row with 2 years or less. That's the only reason it's difficult. He didn't make it difficult. He made it easy. I mean, you must have really loved you some Joe Judge if this was difficult. Let's put it that way. Because, again, as Ian O'Connor said, he kind of fired himself. I don't think he did it on purpose. Nobody gives away these jobs, but not good. Let's go to Brian and Barnegat. Brian.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Michael, I want to give you some context with this call. I called when you were on break, and I called Don, found out that he was an American Top 40 fan like myself. But I also said that if Joe Judge somehow made it to next year, he wouldn't have seen the halfway point. So him getting fired, it's satisfying in my opinion. And Peter, you got to play American Top 40 on Twitch. Thank you.
Okay.
Wow. Big I fan. Like American Top 40 too.
I don't even know what's going on here.
Yeah, I don't either. It was odd. Let's go to Anthony in Bayside. Anthony.
Yeah, it's a tough call to follow. thanks for taking the call, guys. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Listen. Guys, big Giants fan. Here's the thing. You look around the league, and thank God we got rid of Joe Judge. He wasn't the guy. I'm sure he's a great guy, and good luck moving forward, but not for us. You look around the league, and you see what teams are in the playoffs. This has become an overwhelmingly offensive league. You look at, you got Shanahan with the 49ers. You got McVay with the Rams. These guys are all going. You got Andy Reid with the Chiefs. These guys are offensive-minded guys. To me, the answer for the next head coach is one of two people. Now, if you want to do – I don't think Brian – When I called in, I thought maybe Brian Flores would be the guy. He comes from that Belichick coaching tree. I don't think the Giants are going to go back there. I think the Giants should hire, and you steal a guy from the Cowboys, you hire Kellen Moore. They have the number one offense in the league. They led the league in, he led the league in points per game, yards per game, passing yards. They were top three. I mean, you got to get a guy in there that is going to preach offense, that is going to put in an offense that will not only be great for them in the league, but you have to have something where the fans are going to want to come in on Sundays
Anthony,
and say, we're going to actually do something.
There's two things that scare me. I believe that Kellen Moore is 35 years old.
He's very young.
And he look at the skill position players on that team.
33, Michael.
Yeah.
33. You can't. I'm sorry. You can't. I can't go that route. I mean, you hired a 38-year-old, and he was in over his head. Now you're going to go to a 33-year-old? You're going to have players that are older than him. No, I can't do that.
And you have no idea how they lead. You know that he has a successful offense that's incredibly talented, and that's great. But as we just saw, the leader of men thing is a real, real thing that you just, without any experience, how can you know someone's capable?
Now, remember what Robert Saleh said yesterday? That when you become a head coach, you can't even watch film anymore. So all your genius is it's gone. You can't dedicate to your area of expertise anymore. You've got to delegate all that authority. Robert Saleh is an outstanding defensive guy. But were the Jets outstanding defensively? Talent has something to do with it, too. Kellen Moore is supposedly has an arrow pointing up, but 33 years old, and look at the talent on that team.
Now, Flores is interesting, Michael, because he's worked both offense and defense, primarily defense, but did work a little offense in New England. He's 40.
And he's from here.
He's from Brooklyn, grew up a Giant fan, Met fan. Like, so he'll get the whole New York thing, which I think is kind of important. Even Bill Parcells said it in the sound that we played, like literally as the news broke about Judge, is that, you know, being from Oradell, New Jersey, and being from the area and being a Giant fan, it really helped him understand the fan base, understand the media. So even though he was a young head coach, he felt like he had an advantage. And maybe Brian will have that advantage. He won't be surprised by everything that's thrown at him.
Let's go to Ben in Brooklyn. Ben?
Yes, gentlemen. I'd like to speak about the Judge firing. Judge is gone. You guys can be happy. The rest of the ESPN crew, Dan Orlovsky, can be thrilled. But one thing that Judge, I don't know if you guys listened to the entire interview when he made reference to the clown show. Mm-hmm. He didn't specify that it was the Washington football team. I thought the entire interview went fairly well after a resounding loss. At the beginning of the interview, he was being asked questions. He was giving quick answers. He kind of had control over the interview. And then one questioner asked him about was he embarrassed, which is really not a professional question.
That's not true. It really is a professional question. I've asked that question. It's very professional because you can be embarrassed. The way they played was professional, was unprofessional.
Well, yes, right. But during the interview also, he made reference to the fact that he won't throw any player under the bus. These are things you take care of behind closed doors. So what kind of an answer could a coach give?
But it was okay for him to throw Jason Garrett under the bus. That was cool. And Mark Colombo.
And Ron Rivera.
He didn't mention the Washington football team. Ben, come on, please.
Ben.
That was the only team that had a fight.
Right. Like
on the
week
sidelines.
Before that.
So what is he talking about? He tried to squirm out of it afterward. Right. Of course he meant Washington. And anybody who says I'm happy that somebody loses a job, Don and I are at a crossroads with this. We always are. I have never, ever advocated for somebody to lose their job. And I'm not happy that he lost his job.
No, he seems like a nice enough
guy.
He seems like
a nice enough guy. But you know what? He earned this.
No, listen, the reason where Michael and I differ, I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not going to take any, I know fans are going to take joy. A guy lost his job today, and he was embarrassed in the process. He's got a lot of money that he's going to have coming to him, but still, he failed at something
that
he
dreamed
wanted
to do
desperately to succeed at.
Yep.
But he did fail. And every coach is hired to be fired. Unless you're Don Shula, you know, you're going to lose your job. That's the, you know that's going to happen. He failed.
Even Tom Landry lost his job.
you know, it's bound to happen. All right, there's a handful of guys that are able to dictate their own exit. Most of these guys, even guys that win championships, eventually get fired and they lose their job. That's the price you pay. That's why you get paid so much money at it, because if you fail, this is what happens. Now, should we poke fun at the guy? Whatever, I get it. It's a tough day for him. But there's a lot of people that invest a lot of time and money rooting for the Giants that are very happy today because they feel they're going to be moving in the right direction.
All right, let's take a brief time out. We're going to bring in Chris Carlin, who's putting together a great show starting at 7 o'clock. I'm sure this will be the whole deal. Giant coach loses his job, so we'll talk more with Chris about that in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, when it's game time, it's Tully time, and Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey is best enjoyed with great friends during big games. So for the Knicks' January 20th matchup against the Pelicans, 98.7 ESPN is giving away a grand prize VIP reservation for six with food and beverage at Sláinte at 304 Bowery in Manhattan. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN, and you'll be one of 10 qualifiers to win a $50 Fanatics gift card and be in the running to score a night out on us. We'll be qualifying listeners through Friday before selecting our grand prize winner. So off from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. Okay, so Joe Judge has been fired by the Giants. Let's look at this timeline and figure out exactly what happened. On December 26th, the day after Christmas, Adam Schefter reported the Giants plan to bring Judge back for the 2022 season. So what happened since then? The Giants looked inept in back-to-back blowout losses on the road. One to the Eagles, 34-10. Then to the Bears, a bad Bears team that fired their own coach, 29-3. And then the cherry on top was they got embarrassed in front of empty seats at MetLife Stadium, losing to a bad Washington team, 22-7. And in that game, back-to-back quarterback sneaks from their own goal line in the second quarter when they were trailing just 3-0. Now, you pile that onto what he did in the 11-minute diatribe after the loss to the Bears. I agree with Ian, guys. He fired himself.
Yep.
The Giants were painted into a position to fire a guy that they might have liked because he just came off as so clueless, so tone-deaf, and so inept for the final 3 weeks.
It's unbelievable that somebody could sabotage themselves that way. And not on purpose, because I think he wanted this job. Because the levels that we're talking about, guys, I don't think he'll ever be a head coach in the NFL again. You know, maybe an assistant somewhere down the road, but I think he's just going to go back to college. Because apparently in college, they'll hire anybody.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, because Sale, their offensive line coach, the Giants' offensive line has been a debacle, is now the new offensive coordinator in Florida. So he'll get a job. He'll go maybe back to Mississippi State or whatever and get a job somewhere as an assistant.
Go with Belichick. He can go back with Bill.
But this, he's going to be tagged with that, with those plays,
but
Michael.
But you know what, Don? Nobody had a worse 2 years than McDaniels in Denver. He recovered, and then he stood up Indianapolis after hiring assistant coaches and agreeing to the job, stood them up and backed out, and now he's the hottest coaching candidate other than Brian Flores. So you can rebound. He's only 40 years old. I don't necessarily think he'll never get a job.
But there's nothing there. You're basing it on what?
Well, Josh McDaniels, there was nothing there. He started off 6-0, didn't make the playoffs, and then imploded in the second year and got fired and drafted Tim Tebow with a first-round draft pick. And he got a job again.
I don't think he'll be a head coach again. Sorry.
Well, we'll see. I mean, he's going to be in this business for 30 more years. I don't know if we'll be around to see it, but he...
I mean, that's true. It's a long time. And I would be around to see it. You're right. You might not be able to. I'll let you know then.
Wow. I mean, listen, you never say never. But you know, McDaniels had been an assistant in New England for a long time. Was an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but he wasn't the special teams coach. He was the OC.
We're talking about a guy that wasn't even, you know, an offense or defensive coordinator.
All right, let's go to Michael in Greenwich. Michael.
Hi, guys. First, let me say, you guys are good. I switched from another channel when the guy retired, and you guys are really, really, really good.
Thank you.
The funny thing is, I'm a radio guy. I was in radio for many, many years. I owned the radio station in Greenwich. Gave Bill Daughtry his first job. Gave Dave Rothenberg his first job on the radio. And I owned the National Radio Network.
Wow.
You guys work really well together, and it's a pleasure.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
No, you're quite welcome. First off, the funny thing is, I lived in a house in Greenwich for 27 years that was owned by Wellington Mara's best friend. And I got to know the Mara's because one of my business partner was, his family was the Giant team physician for years, and we had season tickets. I'm 70, and I've been going to Giant games since 1962 and watching them since 1955. So I date you guys a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, Joe Judge got himself fired. The Mara's did not want to. And Tish, they didn't want to fire him. They did not want to fire him. He's got 3 years left on a contract. I don't know how it reads, but he's getting $5 million a year. That's a lot of change to swallow and suck up. And they wanted to keep the guy and make it work.
And, Michael, they're also paying. They're still paying Shermer, and they're still paying McAdoo.
Right. And, you know, the fans ran both of them out of town. I think McAdoo, I think Eli really hurt. Eli, when he benched Eli for Geno Smith,
right.
that was his ending. That was his doing. And as far as Shermer, I mean, you know, we can put Shermer back. Denver just fired their coaches. But the funny thing is, he did not have a clue, and he proved it. If you watch the postgame show, and I know you guys did, and listen to the rambling. You saw how he just didn't have it.
And the thing that's amazing, Mike, is he came from the Belichick tree, and Belichick doesn't say boo. Why would he talk that much? Bill Belichick doesn't talk for 11 minutes when you combine all of his answers over the week. And he talked for 11 straight minutes.
But to play pop psychologist, he was trying to convince himself more than anybody else. That's the ramblings of an insecure man.
Well, we have to check in now with Tessa, right?
Have to.
Of course we do.
Tessa from West Caldwell. What are you thinking, Tess?
Oh, my God. Guys, you know I didn't call you right away because I didn't want to call and be screaming real loud. So I had to give myself a little bit of time. But now I'm super excited. I'm smiling. Way to start this year off. Listen, what it all boils down to is this. At the end of the day, I understand they don't want to eat the money and stuff like that, but it was no way. And I don't care if the judge was the one that had to, and I know it was more Mara. I really feel like Tish wanted to get rid of him. It just came down to the point, like you said, when that play got called, that's the first time in all the years of this debacle of how we've been terrible that I turned the TV off because it was either that or throw my sneaker at the TV screen. And I was like, no way, I can't do that. It was disrespectful. It was disgusting. At the end of the day, your tough talk and all of that stuff like that, it's not going over with us because that 11-minute rant, I was like, is this guy serious? Stop talking to us like we're two-year-olds. Stop trying to always explain everything. It's time to go. Now we're going into the right direction as far as now I'm actually excited for next season. Please don't assign Kevin Abrams the GM position. Please go outside the organization and get someone else. And then why not give Brian Flores a chance? I understand, you know, they did start 0-6 or something like that, but they just ran off 7 straight. You know what I'm saying? Like, give just somebody else a chance. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I'm not saying go hire somebody from college or anything like that, but just give somebody else a chance. Something new. We're so vanilla. We're so plain. The Giants' old way is not working. I'm tired of hearing about, oh, what's such a story for respectful franchise. Actually, guys, for a long time now, we have not been. And I really felt like this. You never give your enemy bulletin material, just extra ammo. That comment he made that everybody knew was about Washington was so disrespectful and unnecessary. Like, are you kidding me? If they're a clown show, we're a poke show, and you know I want to say the other word, but we're on the radio right now, so I can't. So how dare you say that? That was disrespectful. So it's just like, I'm just happy. Please, I just want Mara and Tiff to do the right thing. Go outside the organization, get a new GM, and get a new head coach. Because Kevin Abrams, you've been here. Oh, being okay with all these decisions. That's why I don't want him as a new GM. I don't want him. It has
apparently
to
he's not a
from the outside.
Well, I don't think that Abrams is going to get it, Tessa, but I will tell you this. It's a little unfair. He's an assistant. He's a salary cap guy. So if Dave Gettleman wanted to pick Saquon Barkley, Kevin Abrams could say no. You don't have any power in that position other than the power that you're given by the GM. So I think it's unfair that Kevin Abrams, who's given 25 years to the organization, is not going to be considered because they can't have the optic of hiring somebody from within again. But Kevin Abrams is not at fault for this mess. I'm sorry, he's not. He's just not.
Well, he's been a part of success, and he's been a part of failure. He's been here for 20 years.
Yeah.
So he has seen both. So you got to get him credit for some and kill him for others. But there's enough on his resume to suggest that he could get an interview, but apparently they're not interested in doing it.
I wonder if they're going to go with the Buffalo, too. You know, the GM, Shane, from right. Buffalo, and then the offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll. As a coach, I don't know. That's my first thought. But, I mean, the world is their oyster now. They could pick and they can interview whomever they like,
that's right.
Other than teams that are in the playoffs or hire whomever they like. Anyway, a very special Giant-centric ENN coming up in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so Ryan Dunleavy covers football for the Post. Does a good job for them. This is what he tweeted out. A Giants team source on Joe Judge's firing. Quote, the coaching staff walked on eggshells. Players didn't believe in the system. Everyone liked him as a person, but when you hear the same repetitive stuff without changes, it becomes a broken record. This is why players pledging support for a hot seat coach at podium will be hard to believe. And then Ryan says Jay Glazer alluded to an unhappy locker room. So, listen, no player is going to stand up on that podium and say, I don't like the guy, when they think he might be the coach next year.
Yeah, and I'm sure they genuinely liked him. I mean, look at what he did for Logan Ryan last year. So I'm sure Logan Ryan wasn't going to sit there and demand that he be fired or criticize him because, you know, he let him take effectively a leave of absence when his wife was having trouble with her pregnancy. I mean, he's a good man. You know, I know we're kind of beating up on him for his inabilities or lack of ability as head coach, but I'm sure there were guys that were close to him, became friendly with him, and it's probably hard to go public and rip him, but at the end of the day, was he a good enough coach to keep the job?
Let's take some calls, but first let's listen to Dan Orlovsky. We're going to have on Dan tomorrow
in
his normal spot.
Of course.
This is what Dan said on the Canty and Golic Jr. show about the Giants finally firing Joe Judge.
Yeah, that's what happens when you stink at your job. You know, like you get fired. That's the brutal reality of the NFL is when you're not good at that role, they find somebody else who is. I think that what happened over the last month for the New York Giants was embarrassing. You both play football. I think in youth sports, one of the first things we all learn, and it carries over in team sports as you get older, is you never embarrass the name on the back of your jersey, and you never embarrass the name on the front of your jersey. And what has happened is it's become embarrassing. And the way he's handled the press conferences and the way he's handled the play on the field is unacceptable. This is New York Giants. Like, this is the New York Giants. And I'll give credit for the Giants for making a difficult decision.
How difficult was it, though? I mean, it's only difficult because you didn't want to fire a coach, a third coach in a row with 2 years or less. That's the only reason it's difficult. He didn't make it difficult. He made it easy. I mean, you must have really loved you some Joe Judge if this was difficult. Let's put it that way. Because, again, as Ian O'Connor said, he kind of fired himself. I don't think he did it on purpose. Nobody gives away these jobs, but not good. Let's go to Brian and Barnegat. Brian.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Michael, I want to give you some context with this call. I called when you were on break, and I called Don, found out that he was an American Top 40 fan like myself. But I also said that if Joe Judge somehow made it to next year, he wouldn't have seen the halfway point. So him getting fired, it's satisfying in my opinion. And, Peter, you got to play American Top 40 on Twitch. Thank
wow.
you.
Okay.
Wow. Big I fan. Like American Top 40, too.
I don't even know what's going on here.
Yeah, I don't either. It was odd. Let's go to Anthony in Bayside. Anthony.
Yeah, it's a tough call to follow. thank you for taking the call, guys. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Listen, guys, big Giants fan. Here's the thing. You look around the league, and thank God we got rid of Joe Judge. He wasn't the guy. I'm sure he's a great guy, and good luck moving forward, but not for us. You look around the league, and you see what teams are in the playoffs. This has become an overwhelmingly offensive league. You look at You got Shanahan with the 49ers. You got McVay with the Rams. These guys are all going. You got Andy Reid with the Chiefs. These guys are offensive-minded guys. To me, the answer for the next head coach is one of two people. Now, if you want to do – I don't think Brian – when I called in, I thought maybe Brian Flores would be the guy. He comes from that Belichick coaching tree. I don't think the Giants are going to go back there. I think the Giants should hire, and you steal a guy from the Cowboys, you hire Kellen Moore. They have the number one offense in the league. They led the league in, he led the league in points per game, yards per game, passing yards. They were top three. I mean, you got to get a guy in there that is going to preach offense, that is going to put in an offense that will not only be great for them in the league, but you have to have something where the fans are going to want to come in on Sundays
Anthony,
and say,
here's
we're going to actually do something.
There's two things that scare me. I believe that Kellen Moore is 35 years old.
He's very young.
And he look at the skill position players on that team.
33, Michael.
Yeah.
33. You can't. I'm sorry. You can't. I can't go that route. I mean, you hired a 38-year-old, and he was in over his head. Now you're going to go to a 33-year-old? You're going to have players that are older than him. No, I can't do that.
And you have no idea how they lead. You know that he has a successful offense that's incredibly talented, and that's great. But as we just saw, the leader of men thing is a real thing that you just, without any experience, how can you know someone's capable?
Now,
remember what Robert Saleh said yesterday? That when you become a head coach, you can't even watch film anymore. So all your genius is it's gone. You can't be the you can't dedicate to your area of expertise anymore. You've got to delegate all that authority. Robert Saleh is an outstanding defensive guy. But were the Jets outstanding defensively? Talent has something to do with it, too. Kellen Moore is supposedly has an arrow pointing up, but 33 years old, and look at the talent on that team.
Now, Flores is interesting, Michael, because he's worked both offense and defense, primarily defense, but did work a little offense in New England. He's 40.
And he's from here.
He's from Brooklyn, grew up a Giant fan, Met fan. So he'll get the whole New York thing, which I think is kind of important. Even Bill Parcells said it in the sound that we played, literally as the news broke about Judge, is that he being from Oradell, New Jersey, and being from the area and being a Giant fan, it really helped him understand the fan base, understand the media. So even though he was a young head coach, he felt like he had an advantage. And maybe Brian will have that advantage. He won't be surprised by everything that's thrown at him.
Let's go to Ben in Brooklyn. Ben?
Yes, gentlemen, I'd like to speak about the Judge firing. Judge is gone. You guys can be happy. The rest of the ESPN crew, Dan Orlovsky, can be thrilled. But one thing that Judge, I don't know if you guys listened to the entire interview when he made reference to the clown show. Mm-hmm. He didn't specify that it was the Washington football team. I thought generally the entire interview went fairly well after a resounding loss. At the beginning of the interview, he was being asked questions. He was giving quick answers. He kind of had control over the interview. And then one questioner asked him about was he embarrassed, which is really not a professional question.
That's not true. It really is a professional question. I've asked that question. It's very professional because you can be embarrassed. Well, the way they played was professional. Was unprofessional.
Well, yes, right, but during the interview also, he made reference to the fact that he won't throw any player under the bus. These are things you take care of behind closed doors. So what kind of an answer could a coach give?
But it was okay for him to throw Jason Garrett under the bus. That was cool. And Mark Colombo.
And Ron Rivera.
You're saying he didn't mention the Washington football team. Ben, come on, please.
Ben.
That was the only team that had a fight.
Right. On the week before that.
So what is he talking about? He tried to squirm out of it afterward. Right. Of course he meant Washington. And anybody who says I'm happy that somebody loses a job, Don and I are at a crossroads with this. We always are. I have never, ever advocated for somebody to lose their job. And I'm not happy that he lost his job.
No, he seems like a nice enough
dude. A nice enough guy. But you know what? He earned this.
No, listen, the reason where Michael and I differ, I mean, I'm not going to take any – I know fans are going to take joy. A guy lost his job today, and he was embarrassed in the process. And he's got a lot of money that he's going to have coming to him. But still, he failed at something
that
he
dreamed
wanted
to do
desperately to succeed at.
Yep.
But he did fail. And every coach is hired to be fired. Unless you're Don Shula, you know, you're going to lose your job. That's the you know that's going to happen. He failed.
Wish Even Tom Landry lost his job.
You know, it's bound to happen, all right? There's a handful of guys that are able to dictate their own exit. Most of these guys, even guys that win championships, eventually get fired and they lose their job. That's the price you pay. That's why you get paid so much money at it, because if you fail, this is what happens. Now, should we poke fun at the guy? Whatever, I get it. It's a tough day for him. But there's a lot of people that invest a lot of time and money rooting for the Giants that are very happy today because they feel they're going to be moving in the right direction.
All right, let's take a brief time out. We're going to bring in Chris Carlin, who's putting together a great show starting at 7 o'clock. I'm sure this will be the whole deal. Giant coach loses his job, so we'll talk more with Chris about that in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, Don and Peter, a very good first step. I'm hearing that the Giants have requested permission from the Jets to interview Adam Gase for the head coaching position.
No. So, wow. That's not what they...
That's not right.
You don't even want to think you don't want to think about it, Don.
No. Would be scary. You know what? One of my favorite people in the world is Chris Carlin.
Oh, I love him.
Why is that? Give me like three good reasons.
You know why? He's a legitimately good guy. Hmm. Works his butt off. Hmm. And I think everybody in the business respects him.
You described...
Except maybe one.
Almost everybody at this radio station.
No. There's people in this radio station I wouldn't put out a fire on their head.
But they're all three of the things you just said.
I do well.
No, in your opinion, not mine.
Okay.
Wow.
There's some people that are hacks that work here.
Name a name.
I'm not. You know, I like my job. Anyway, let's bring in the aforementioned Chris Carlin. He got a big show at 7. If he didn't have anything to talk about, he does now.
Chris.
Oh, we'll talk. There's a lot to talk about. And this is, I don't want people to waste their energy in the whole why did it take so long thing. I think that is not even the biggest point right now. The biggest point right now is that he had to go. And I do hate to see anybody losing their jobs because everybody's human, and this was obviously a dream scenario for him. But this was the best thing for the organization. And just in talking to people today, this was going to happen one way or the other, no matter how long it took. This was going to happen.
What do you think went wrong, though? Because obviously has a good pedigree, certainly seems like a bright guy. Why did it go so off the rails?
He did this to himself here. And I think, look, when you have, and we've all been in these situations, you get pressurized situations. Everybody feels pressure from time to time, and it depends on how you handle it. And I think that was very telling, not just in what he said in that 11-minute rant, because I ultimately believe that is why he is not the Giants coach today.
Not the two plays on Sunday.
They didn't help. Right. They didn't help. But I think if they had won the game on Sunday, I think he still would have gotten fired. Because I don't think whoever the new GM is was going to have to keep him, because that is severely going to limit your pool of candidates to work for or to work with. You know, then you're not getting a good candidate if you're telling him right out of the gate, well, you're starting with this guy. So in other words, what you're telling him is strike one. Because look at it from 50,000 feet up. You have to overhaul a lot of his staff. I mean, you have to go find a good offensive coordinator. And what good offensive coordinator is taking the job knowing that this coach probably in a year is getting fired?
I don't even know if they keep Graham, Don. Do you?
I mean, they didn't have a great season.
I mean, you could bring in Vic Fangio. I mean, he's an outstanding defensive guy.
I really think the general manager's got to come in here with a clean slate. If he wants to keep Patrick Graham, fine. But I am not, as John Mara or Steve Tisch, going to say, this guy has to stay. Let the general manager do what he thinks is best and groom it in his image and go forward.
And from talking to people today, that's absolutely what I think will happen.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they will let whoever it is do their job.
And And a lot, Peter, like, you know, trying to figure out whether a college quarterback could become an NFL quarterback. It's a lot like that with coaches. It's not even how much football you know. We know they all know a ton. Just can they be leaders? Can they be head coaches? Can they delegate responsibility? Can they come up with a game plan? You know, all this coach speak and stuff, that's great, but what does it mean if you got no pedigree, if you got no resume?
Let me throw something more in here.
Go ahead.
Do you really want another scenario where you're going to have two people, not just one, potentially two, and not that you're just coming off this because Gettleman had the previous experience. Do you want two people who haven't done the job before here?
No.
No.
No, I don't think you can.
Let me ask you this, Chris, all right? You're lying in bed, middle of the night, right in the middle of your first or second wave of meat sweats.
And I got a steaming hot Domino's on my chest.
Your dream giant coach is?
Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Really? Benny Agbayani.
Wow. I would give up those two first round picks.
No, you're out of your mind.
I would.
The whole foundation to build this team back, yeah. You're going to give up. I might give up one. I'm not giving up two.
Listen, I don't want to give up both. But if
they didn't even give up
takes,
that many for Bill Belichick, the Patriots.
I'm with Michael.
No way.
Yeah, I'm not giving up two.
I'd give up the second one.
Yeah.
I wanted to answer this. Michael, you asked earlier to Chris, what happened here? You know, how did it come off the rails? To me, it's not even about it coming off the rails. It's a reminder that these little off-season games of teams deciding who they're hot on when they're young coordinators or college coach, it's a crapshoot. I don't think anything came off the rails. They took a guess.
I'll take it even further. I'll give you the precise moment in the 10-minute rant. When you have to actually outwardly say this ain't some clown show organization, you in that moment have turned yourself into a clown show.
Right. Isn't that ironic?
You never have to argue about something that you're not.
Exactly. And not even, you know, it's not like somebody asked him, hey, is this a clown show organization? You created the premise yourself.
It's so crazy.
So what do you have on the show? I mean, well, what are you going to do? I mean,
we'll have Jordan on, and for the other hour and a half.
Michael Jordan is on the show tonight?
No, Jordan run on.
Oh, that's still exciting. It's still exciting.
As I said, for the other 90 minutes.
I heard it the first time, and I thought it was great.
I thought it was great, too. But Peter, you know, so intent on
Don, sometimes you really want to make sure the joke is so good that you say it twice.
Yeah, lands hard. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what all the greats do.
Well, stay tuned for that. More on the Joe Judge firing with Chris Carlin. We'll see you guys tomorrow. See you. Have a great night.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't wait to read the Coach K book.
I know.
What a great answer. And think about it, guys. How many great leaders are really great people? Nice people. It's hard to like lead and always be nice because I guess you got to be nasty. Well, can you think of a leader that was looked at as nice?
Well, because you have to make very difficult decisions.
Yep.
And you have to make unpopular decisions. And if you try to be nice, that means you're going to make the decisions for all the wrong reasons. And I think part of that's the problem with John Mara, is that he probably has to make a very, very difficult decision, and he doesn't want to do it. You know, and that's just no way to run a team. I'm sorry. So you're going to have to break some eggs. Now, if you're a great leader, Michael, that means you're probably disappointed a lot of people who felt that they should have kept their job or not been cut. So Coach K probably had to cut players that probably curse his name. But he did what was right for the school and for his team. So if you're going to try to make everybody happy, Michael, then you're making all the wrong decisions and you're no kind of leader.
I think there's varying degrees, right? But I think my guess is Robert Saleh's a nice man. Now, we don't know if he's going to turn out to be Coach K. But I do think I wonder who's the best example. Really successful leader in sports who, by all accounts, is supposed to be a really nice guy.
Tony Dungy.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Well, there you go.
But, no, he is supposed to be a nice guy. Oh, Joe Gibbs. Gibbs a good one. By the way, common theme there. Very religious.
You're not counting me, right? You're not looking at me as a leader? Because I'm about as nice as they come.
It's just so many parts of it that are not true. What about John Wooden?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, there's always been talk that did he turn the other way as players were getting paid? I don't know.
You know, if we believe they're nice, like you said, Joe Gibbs, and I always – and Scotty Bowman's on that level, right? Like, great coach in the NHL, and I got along with him famously, and I think he's, like, one of the nicest guys in the world. Yet I can run into people who think Scotty Bowman's evil because they know a different side to him than he's presented to the public. And I'm sure that's the same with Coach K. Like, outwardly, he just seems like a really nice guy, right, Michael? But I'm sure there are people that know behind the scenes that – or were victims of some of his decisions that would have a completely different feel. So I don't know if we're close enough to these leaders to be able to make the determination. Like, everything we hear about Tony Dungy is like a really nice guy, but I'm sure there's probably some players who are like, wait a minute. Just in the opposite. How many times we hear from players who say that Bill Belichick's one of the funniest down-to-earth guys they've ever met? That's not what the public sees.
So Bill Parcells supposedly was a handful. I mean, nice guy, but he was a handful.
Oh yeah, there were media people that didn't get along with him. He was screaming at Phil Simms. Like he's a tough one. Like he's so Jersey, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean,
about things.
I think Aaron Boone's a legitimately nice guy. Now, has he made himself a great leader yet? No, he hasn't won anything, but he's a nice guy.
He's a real nice man.
He's a legitimately good dude.
He's a legitimately nice man.
Friend of mine just texted me, Red Holtzman was a really nice guy.
He's a nice man.
Another guy just texted me, said, who comes out of West Point is a cream puff? And he came out of West Point.
Yeah.
Krzyzewski.
All right, but that's so what I love about, Ian writes a book, and again, I said, I read the Jeter, I read the Parcell, the Belichick. He is going to turn over every stone. He's going to give you every side. He's going to talk to everybody there is to talk to. Like, he doesn't go in saying, let's do a nice book about Coach K's career. He is going to get to the bottom of the man. And that's what you want in a biography like that. You want to get the information.
Now, I mentioned the Joel Sherman story that's just been posted. So it's not in today's paper. It'll be in tomorrow's paper, but it's posted right now. Joel Sherman of the New York Post, no pun intended. And I think that Don and Peter would have strong opinions on this. So Joel said in the column, it's time for the Yankees to get rid of their no facial hair policy and no hair below the collar. He said because, he's surprised that somebody hasn't fought it yet. And if they made a trade for somebody who was high in the Players Association, you take it to arbitration and would it win? And would you want to, like, void a trade that a team – a guy could help you because he's got long hair. I mean, would the Yankees say to Fernando Tatis, we don't want you because you're not groomed the way we want? Would they say to Bryce Harper, you can't come here because you say you have to have a beard? Now, I'll give you my quick take. And I think you'll both disagree with it. If the Yankees announce tomorrow, you know what, we're getting rid of this policy, it wouldn't fracture my world. But I think there's something nice about it. I think there's something cool about it, that they're different than everybody else. Is it hard to believe that this kind of policy is in place in 2022? Yes, it is. Is it hard to believe that no one has ever fought it? Yes. Yes, it is. I mean, Randy Johnson came to the Yankees and cut his hair. Randy Johnson. But I think there's something really endearing about it. It goes back to when George Steinbrenner bought the team. I have never asked Hal Steinbrenner about it, but from what I've heard, the daughters are very much in keeping with this policy. I don't think Brian Cashman would care. I don't think that Aaron Boone would care, but the family owns the team, and I think that parts of the family think it's pretty important, and I think it is a nice thing. I don't think it's a terrible thing. I don't think it's a terrible thing for somebody to cut their hair. In Joel's story, he said, you see all these pictures of Yankees in the winter. They all grow long hair and beards. Once they get traded, they all grow a beard. It's like they're showing how, like, repressed they were with the Yankees. So that's my take. Don, your take.
I think the sentiment is nice, but now it's reached a level of arrogance. Like, I listen, honoring your father's tradition, I get that. I would understand why you'd want to fight for that. But now it's almost like, look what we can make players do.
I don't think it's like that. I don't think that's why they do it.
I don't think, Michael, listen, you could tell me, obviously my hair has gotten out of hand and people don't like it. But this idea of facial hair and long hair is slovenly and unkempt. I mean, it's, come on, let's get with the world here. People wear their hair differently. People have facial hair, and sometimes you can make it look neat and nice. I mean, it gets a little stupid, Michael, when you've got players that wear their hat crooked, or they don't wear the uniform right, or they've got tattoos that are spilling out from their uniform. It's like, well, why is that okay, but somebody who wants to have their hair below the collar or maybe have a nice, well-kept beard have to shave it? Like, it doesn't make a difference now, but like 10 years ago, you know, Brian Wilson had this big, obnoxious beard with the San Francisco Giants.
Right.
And he ended up growing it to the point where, like, there was a charitable contribution to it, like, where he was growing it for charity. So let's say that they needed a closer. They weren't going to trade for him? Make him shave it?
But I don't think that has ever impacted them getting a player. So if it did, and no, they hurt themselves, then I could say, well, that doesn't make much sense. But there are rules about appearance, Don. The NFL has rules about appearance.
No, I
get the way you wear your uniform. So the Yankees want their players to be clean cut, or at least factions of the family do.
And I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem when a team has a rule that you have to wear a suit off the field, like when you go to a function or you're traveling before you get on the plane, get off the plane. I mean, I like that. I think being neat is something that I think is important. Like, how you carry yourself, I think, is very important. I'm just not sure why long hair and a beard means that you're a slob.
I don't think they're saying that it's a slob. I think the look that they want in their team is that they don't have beards and long hair. Michael, they're not saying you're a slob if you have it.
But here's where the arrogance comes in. You know, they have always been a team that's competing for a championship. And so when you trade for a player like that or sign a player, that team is going to put the championship above, you know, fighting to keep their facial hair and their long hair. And I think that's where the arrogance steps in, where I think they kind of enjoy that they're able to get players to do that. If they go through 10 years like the Giants just did, where they're under 500, you know, I think there would be players that would say, I'm not going to go there and cut my hair for a team that's going to finish 500.
But it has never happened yet. So
because they haven't been bad for a long time.
But again, it has never happened. So they've never lost a player because they said you have to cut your hair, and he said I won't. Peter, what's your take?
I feel like there's a middle ground they could find where you could still request and expect that players look clean and you know, not messy. But I think having a strict rule about facial hair or long hair, I think there's so many ways that could go where you can still allow people to be who they are and also make sure they have a clean look.
All right, let's throw it out to you, 1-800-919-3776. I find it interesting. I really do. And I don't think there's a real slam dunk answer on either side. I get the Steinbrenner family honoring their dad. I think it does make them a little bit different than other teams, and there's not one player. Johnny Damon was known as one of the idiots. He cut his hair completely, shaved the beard. Same thing with Randy Johnson. No one has said no. And until somebody says no, why, it's an issue. But what Joel is saying, that somebody might say no, and do you want to be the team that has to fight this in front of an arbitrator? But nobody has said no, as far as I know. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so Don, I have to ask a question. John Miller on Twitter said that Lamoriello has the same policy with the Islanders, does he?
Yeah, and he had it with the Devils too. But, you know, during the playoffs, you could grow your beard during the playoffs, because that's been a tradition that's been around since the Islanders in the 80s. But he did have that policy. Matter of fact, he had a policy too, Michael, from what I understand. Like, office workers couldn't have family photos on their desk. There's a very, very strict policy that he has as well, but he did show leniency where you did see some goatees, and then he did allow you to grow the beard in the playoffs.
Let's see what you're thinking. Let's go to Joe in Westchester. Joe.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm a lifetime Yankee fan, and I got to tell you that I tend to come down and side with Don on this. I think that right now it has become almost like a point of arrogance with them. It's almost in the old days when they were known as being corporate America's team, like U.S. Steel. They were kind of like the team that you don't like against. They're known for their pinstripes. I do agree with you, Michael, on something you've always said about the name on the back of pinstripe jerseys. I think that's what they're known for. I don't think the hair thing makes any sense now. In the 80s, when they weren't good, they didn't lose free agents. You're absolutely correct. But people came here because they were the only one with deep pockets. Now, in the terms of luxury taxes and revenue sharings and these other money streams and multiple wild card things, there are teams that people, that players can go to now to compete. Even though this is a collective bargaining thing, obviously we want to level the playing field and competitive balance. I think that now they're just doing it because they can do it. And I want to say this, too. You've mentioned this before. He's always become part of the family. Honor Steinbrenner by winning. And if they really want to honor George Steinbrenner, they would have fired Cashman, period. I don't care. Now he's considered part of the family. There's no way George would have kept the general manager that long. It's just so they could pick and choose. I got that. They want to honor their dad. But there's a lot about this policy that doesn't make sense. And yeah, while they haven't lost players.
The one thing ahead, I would disagree with you, Joe. I don't, and I disagree with, it's not about arrogance. It's not, that's not how Steinbrenner's operating. It's because the dad wanted it. And the dad wanted it so much, he loved Thurman Munson. I mean, loved him. And he loved Lou Piniella. And he made both of them cut their hair and made Thurman Munson shave his beard. And I told you the story about Lou Piniella. George bought the team. Lou Piniella had long hair. And George called him into his office and said, You got to cut your hair. The rules are you've got to cut your hair. It can't go below the collar. And Lou said, you mean to tell me that if Jesus Christ was a baseball player, he couldn't play for the Yankees? And George got up and walked him across the street from where the Yankee complex was. There was a hotel. And he said to Lou, okay, you walk across the pool. If you could do that, then you can keep your beard. I mean, that's how – I mean, he was like – that was an important thing for him.
No, but I –
And I think the daughters realized it was an important thing for their dad.
But here's what I would tell the family. I respect it, but you know what? You're going to have to cave at some point. So why don't you dictate when you do it rather than maybe being embarrassed to do it when you do lose somebody? Game's changing, Michael. You know, what you see –
the world's changing.
Well, exactly. But the game's changed to the point where you're seeing how it's kind of accepted now, the bat flips and players having their own personalities. I love not having the name on the back. I get that. I would never change that. That's a tradition that they should be very, very proud of. But they're going to get to a point here where they may lose out on players and then be forced to change it. And then they'll look weak changing it because players are slipping through their fingers. Do it now. And that way, you're out in front of it before you're forced to eventually do it. Because I think that day is coming sooner than later.
And I think that's what Joel was writing, that somebody's going to challenge it. I've always felt it was amazing. And also, you know, players like to be led, too, that no one has ever fought it. Guys that really, you know, love their beards. And they no one ever fought it and said, no, I'm not doing it. Randy Johnson probably could have. And, you know, also, there's also a wink-wink to this, too. You could have a mustache, but it can't drop below your lip. Nobody. Aaron Boone has never told Giancarlo Stanton that he has to get rid of the soul patch under his lip. Never. Because that's defying the rule. That you're not supposed to have hair below your lip. And he's got a soul patch there.
And I never
I mean, they do bend a little bit. I think Jack McDowell had a little bit of a goatee. I think Goose Gossage had like a Fu Manchu. So they bend a little bit, but in terms of them like giving up completely, I don't know. But the best argument you made, Don, why lose in a fight? Why don't you make the decision before you lose in the fight?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about times when players were under the thumb of ownership. You're talking about times where, you know, the Yankees are winning all the time, so it was easy for them to cave. But look what's accepted now in baseball, Michael. Now you're the old man on the lawn. Get off my lawn when you argue about somebody bat flipping. You know, and so it just seems that there is a new era, and just embrace it.
It is
individualism.
They are lenient with some. I mean, if you looked when Roger Clemens pitched, he had a beard. When Andy Pettit pitched, he had a beard. CC Sabathia pushed the envelope. Gerrit Cole's hair is long. I mean, you can say whatever you want. It's long. They do bend a little bit, just a little bit.
See why you think it's cool, and I do get it.
I think it's quaint. I don't know if it's cool. Cool might not be the right word. I think there's something nice about it.
Well, then there is, but there's also something silly about it simultaneously, I think.
I guess it could be both. There are things that are quaint that are silly, but they're quaint.
I think it can be both.
See, I understand the age in which we live in. I get it. But it does say something about discipline. I think, you know, Clint Frazier was always pushing the envelope with it. Always. And I think it bothered him. But he didn't have the standing to fight it. But it did bother him. I guarantee when he plays for the Cubs this year, he's going to have long hair and a beard. I guarantee it. That's what he always wanted with the Yankees.
But we are starting to see, and I think it's a good thing, of getting away from that whole militaristic, you know, ownership, manager, player kind of ladder where now they're becoming more partners, you know, players wanting more of a say. I mean, things are starting to change a little bit here. So I just think that eventually you're going to get to the point where it'll be a strange and silly hill to die on.
1-800-919-3776. I wonder what Bill Parcells thinks about what the Giants are doing right now. We'll hear from the Hall of Fame coach in just a moment when we return on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.